This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar on the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for Jesus. My guest by way of telephone, no doubt if you've been listening to him all this week, he's originally from Uganda, Africa. He's an apostle. He started over 13 churches, and I caught up with him in Minneapolis, Minnesota. His name is Pastor Ronnie Sally, and he's walked in the miracles that provoke me to jealousy. But you know what, Ronnie? The Word of God says the non-Jew is to provoke the Jew to jealousy. Now, I'm a believer, and it's primarily to provoke Jewish people that don't know Jesus to jealousy. But where did you develop such a love for Israel and the Jewish people?
Oh, this began, you see, when Idi Amin, because I was born during his time, you know, mm-hmm. and we saw how Idi Amin was persecuting the church, and when he hijacked the airplane and persecuted the Jews until they came and the 90 minutes that Entebbe raided Entebbe. So that what Idi Amin did really showed me that God has a special, a plan for Israel. And Israel has favor. That's why this man was hating Israel and he'd been killing so many people. So I began to identify with Israel and began to pray for Israel and have... In fact, right now, I'm just going to pray for Israel. Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, there will be peace in Israel. There will be revival in Israel. May you release healing and transformation. May you help those Jews who are poor, Lord, who are returning back and being put back in their homes, Lord, that there will be enough finances to take care of them, Lord. You know what, Sid?
What?
God loves Israel, and the church has to love Israel.
Do you believe the scripture in Genesis 12:3, where God says, I, God, will bless those who bless the Jewish people? Do you really believe that?
I believe the scripture very, very much.
I know you do. But there's a lot of Christians that don't even understand the flip side of that is, I'll bless those that bless the Jewish people, but I'll curse those that curse them. So many people are under a curse because they've been anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish.
In fact, that's why they're under curse. We had to send a team of intercessors to go and repent in Israel that the curse would be broken over Uganda. And when that curse was broken, that's when we saw transformation in that nation.
Huh.
It's very serious. Some people have to understand that you don't touch what God has blessed, you know?
Let's change subject just for a moment.
Okay.
You have prayed for homosexuals that have been set free. Tell me about one specific one that you prayed for.
The specific one that I prayed for that was set free was in Africa, in Malindi, and he was doing that homosexual for business because he wanted to relieve himself from poverty, you know. And people in the homosexual business have a lot of money. So he came to the meeting, and when he received Christ, we cast the devil out of him. He is now a preacher. He's no longer a gay. And another specific one was in Uganda that I prayed for that was homosexual. He had a spit on him. When it was coming out, it began to manifest, you know, and he was trying like to rap the chair. We broke that spit on him, and he was set free. So these devils come out of people, you know.
Now, to people that are homosexual in the way they walk, the way they talk, do you see changes after they're set free of these demons?
Yes, there's change. You see change. They begin to behave like they were before they became possessed with these demons.
But in America, they say it's a disease. What do you say it is?
I don't think it's a disease. What I say is it's a demon that is manifesting through human beings. That's why they behave insane like that, because it's a demon which manifests in them.
Have you prayed for dead people that have come back to life?
Yes, I've prayed for a dead person, and that dead person came back to life, and people on my team, I've been trying to raise dead people. My associate pastor in London has raised two dead people in London, and also one of my evangelists in Africa has raised a dead person. So we all see the things happening.
Now, it says in my notes that when you minister, many people see visions, you actually have open visions sometimes. And you were telling me about someone that had a visitation to heaven recently when you were preaching. Tell me about that.
In California, I was preaching in California, and one lady saw the skies open, and then she went to heaven. She saw the glory of God. She saw Jesus being worshipped by angels. She could not see the Father because no one sees the Father and lives again. But I mean, she saw Jesus, and she saw the angels worshiping him. She saw the glory of God, and what she was telling the people in the meeting was in English. In English was, that's what she said. The rest she was speaking in the heavenly language. She couldn't express. Then I remembered what Paul said when he was caught up in that heaven, and he could not tell what he saw. You know, the glorious presence of God. So these things happen. In Semin, California, another young man saw Jesus riding a white horse with angels that were doing battle with the forces of darkness and taking territories. People see visions. People see fire. In Minneapolis, one lady saw fire in the room. Others see gold. They see the rain. See angels. Things are like that happen in the meetings when I'm preaching.
Now you have open visions. What is an open vision?
An open vision, this is when you see with your eyes, just like you see people walking around now. You see with your eye. You see something else supernatural with your eyes, just like you're seeing in the normal. And that's what I call an open vision.
Now, tell me one that you've seen.
Oh, I've seen a Jezebel spirit. I mean, somebody who had a Jezebel on there, and I saw them. Half human being and half snake. And other visions I've seen the glory of God, you know. Like one time I was praying for, I've been praying for, like when I'm praying in the Crusades, and I would see the power of God. Sometimes I see with my eyes like rain. Sometimes I see like a wall. I mean, a wall of fire, you know. You see a wall of fire. Sometimes it's so strong that I just begin to worship God. I quit what I'm doing and begin to worship God because it's so strong.
Now, if you see this in a meeting and you start worshiping God, what will happen in the meeting?
What will happen in the meeting? The anointing will fall upon the people. Like sometimes people hear angels sing in my meetings, you know. They hear angels singing, Hosanna, Holy, Holy, things like that. And so sometimes when I experience that tremendous presence of God, the anointing falls on the congregation and people get ejected off their seats. To their knees, and they begin to cry to God for repentance.
Now, when you say they get ejected to their knees, do they do this themselves or just supernaturally?
It ejects them off their seat. When they begin to thirst and hunger for God, and the part of the supernatural gets in touch with the nature bows down. People get ejected off their seats. Others, they begin to. Oh my goodness, things happen when the hunger for God is released in the congregation, in the crowd. Things like that begin to happen, you know. Repentance is seen on a high level. People begin to seek God while I'm preaching. They don't wait for me to finish preaching. In the middle of the sermon while I'm preaching, the conviction strikes and people begin to repent. I remember when I was preaching in Indiana, and this thing was happening and people couldn't sit. They just began to crawl. Others were running up and down. And I've seen this in Africa, whereby people have come to talk to my team, telling them, pray for us to receive Jesus, because we can't wait for the preacher to finish preaching. Hardly 20 minutes, the conviction is so strong that people begin to cry and repent of their sins.
Do you pray and fast much?
Yes, I remember I do pray and fast much. Sometimes I pray for 8 hours. Sometimes I pray for 12 hours. It depends on how the Holy Spirit enables me.
Now, if you did not pray that much, would you see as many results?
Yes, I would see them. You see, that depends on how God... I would see them, but not the way I see them. You see, when you pray, you see more because prayer brings you closer to God. Fasting, I fasted for 50 days, see, in London. People in my church began to say, our pastor is going to die. We need to stop by from fasting.
Why 50 days? Jesus only fasted 40 days.
I'd gone for 40 days, and I didn't want to come out of that presence. I extended some 10 days more. you know, seeking God, hungry for the move of God over the nation.
Did you see something happen as a result of that fast?
Oh, I saw something happen. I did a meeting when I came out of the 50 days fast. The place was packed with people, and the people didn't want to leave for the next 2 hours after the meeting. The conviction, the repentance, and the presence of God, it's like heaven was walking, was so real that people didn't want to go home. They didn't even look at their watch. You know, like, you know, Europe and America, the services, they're 2 hours. So sometimes when such a thing happens, people will stay in the church. They won't go. The pastor said, my service is done, go home. They'll not go because others are stuck there on the floor, crying to God for hours.
When you say stuck, do you mean that they couldn't get up if they wanted to?
Yeah, they can't get up. I mean, you try to get them up, they'll get back on the floor. See, I've seen the things happen, like in Africa. People stay in the church for another 6 hours after the Holy Spirit has calmed down, and they can't go home. So for us, the preacher, I'm tired, I go back to my hotel, and the Holy Spirit continues to work. Others, they leave their vehicles in the parking, and they get a ride home because they can't drive the vehicles, so they have to come for the vehicles the next day.
Why can't they drive the vehicles?
It's because there's so much in the presence of God that they're drunk in the presence of God. I mean, you know, when the natural meets the supernatural, the natural bows down. You see?
So if someone goes to your service, they better bring a designated driver?
What I can say is that when they come, let them open up for the move of the Holy Spirit. The church will take care of them. They can always give them a ride home. It happens sometimes, this depends on how the Holy Spirit has planned to do it, but sometimes, I mean, people just get so drunk in the Holy Spirit because of the move. You know, when people repent and the Holy Spirit comes down, Jesus begins to manifest himself in a strong way. You know, like your rebellion, if you have rebellious children, those were on drugs, those were stubborn, beating up their sisters. They come to meetings and they say, this is fake. But the moment they are prayed for, they go saying, it's real. It's real. It's
Well, before we did this interview, Mishpocha, we did a special one-hour-plus audio cassette teaching on deliverance and explaining what goes on during deliverance and why, what areas people need deliverance from. For instance, as we were talking on this broadcast, homosexuality you can be delivered of, witchcraft, curses put on you, pornography, lust, being involved in the New Age, calling the psychic hotline. If you have just an oppression over you, you're tormented, or you're depressed all the time. These are spirits. And we were explaining that they can go back four generations. Maybe you didn't commit that specific sin, but some ancestor did. And the Bible says that the curses are passed on generationally. Curses, a lot of people have marital problems. They don't know why. It's because generational curses or problems with their children or health problems. Many people are addicted, and they can be set free of these demons of addiction. And Pastor Ronnie moves in very specific words of knowledge. He moved in words of knowledge. He broke these curses. He has a special prayer of deliverance after this teaching. And then he prays that you be filled with the Spirit. We're asking $12 postage paid. I urge you to call or write today and order the special teaching tape by Pastor Ronnie Solly.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, cassette catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Look us up on the web, www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.